The hour of 10:50, to have arrived, we'll call the House Tax Committee to order. Representative Hansen moves the minutes from February 26th. Any additions or corrections? Hearing none, all fair say aye.
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 Opposed? Did that one myself. Minutes are approved. Well, with you, with you. Okay, so minutes approved. We have a lot of testifiers today for a very fine piece of legislation, House File 1277. And so we'll get right into the bill. I'll move House File 1277. I don't see any amendments to the bill. And this is the data centers bill. And just so we get it right on the record, I'd like House Research to just kind of go through what the bill does. But before that, just a little history. I think the year was 2011. And I can't remember who came to me with this idea about these data centers. They say they're going to be the thing of the future, and Minnesota better get in it, or you're not going to be in it. So I thought it was a good idea to get Minnesota involved in this. We did, and it was a tremendous, it has been a tremendously successful program throughout the state. Many jobs, many construction jobs. And so what this, well, I'm going to let someone from House Research describe exactly what I'm doing. Ms. Hagler?
Mr. Chair and members, House File 1277 does a few things. It expands the current law sales and use tax exemption for certain equipment, software, and electricity used for used by data centers to include a new category of data centers termed large-scale data centers. The bill contains numerous specifications as to what qualifies as a large data center or a large-scale data center. There's a certification process that the Department of Economic Development puts those data centers through before they would qualify for the exemption. It allows the exemption for equipment and software to be an upfront exemption for these large-scale data centers, and allows the electricity portion of the exemption to be upfront as well. And then the bill also specifies that the current expiration of the exemption of July 1, 2042 applies to the current qualifying data centers, the data centers and the qualified refurbished data centers, but not to the new large-scale data centers that are proposed by this bill.
Thank you very much. Okay, I think what we'll do is we'll get right into the testimony. But before we start that, is there anyone in the audience? I just added Angela Kapp. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify on behalf of the bill, for the bill, or with concerns? Just so I kind of see what the landscape is here. Okay, thank you very much. So we will start out with Barbara Comstock. And so we'll go through the testimony. Do we know, does the department wish to weigh in on this one, or we'll see what the testimony is, and you can always come in. Department?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay, so is it okay if we put your MNOP on the list? Well, you can testify, of course, anytime you want, if I say so. Okay, so let's go. We'll call Barbara Comstock. Perfect. Okay. So if you could both please identify yourself for the record.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Barbara Comstock, and I'm here also with Bartlett Cleland, and I appreciate the opportunity to testify on behalf of NetChoice, a trade association of the world's leading online businesses, in support of your bill, HF 1277, in order to make Minnesota more competitive for large-scale capital investments and job creation that comes from large-scale data centers. When I served in the Virginia General Assembly, I passed bipartisan data center legislation that opened the door to billions in investment in Virginia and led to Virginia being the number one data center location in the world.
You're ahead of Minnesota?
And last year...
You had to do something about that.
Yeah, we want to help you.
Please continue.
Yes, we want to help you with that. And last year it led to 74,000 jobs, $5.5 billion in labor income, $9.1 billion in GDP. Last year we had $24 billion in capital investment, which was actually 84% of all capital investment in Virginia. So why should Minnesota want to attract more large-scale data centers? As we have showed in our written testimony, this is nearly a $100 billion market, bigger than manufacturing, telecom, or any other industry. So not every state has the factors that attract data center investment, but you here in Minnesota do. And now you can get more. But what is missing is the same treatment and long-term certainty that Minnesota already offers for other capital-intensive industries like manufacturing, agriculture, and telecom that is currently offered in 30-plus other states for data centers, including permanent exemptions in Wisconsin, Iowa, and North Dakota. So when evaluating these tax exemptions, we encourage Minnesota to adopt sort of looking at a here versus not here analysis of whether to allow for this same type of long-term certainty that exists with other exemptions that you have. Now, when Virginia did an audit in 2019 to evaluate our incentives, we concluded that 90% of the investment would not have occurred were it not for these tax exemptions. They would have gone to other states. And in fact, when I did my bill, we had a smaller type of program, but we improved it, and because we had lost out to North Carolina on a very large data center, and what we realized was zero times zero equals zero in terms of the income we were losing there. So, and then at the local level, data centers has generated a huge amount of money. In one county that I used to represent, it was $300 million in local tax revenue for Loudoun County in 2019, and by 2023, that had grown to $735 million, one-third of their total budget, which allowed them to provide lots of money for their local schools, law enforcement, and other things. And that has been throughout Virginia also. So it's really about competition and helping balance your budget. These incentives will raise money, not lose it, and it will make you more competitive and put you on that map as one of the most competitive states in the region. So thank you, and turn it over to my colleague.
We'll go to Mr. Cleland, and then we'll have you stick around for member questions. I think we'll do that after each testifier. But before we even do that, the folders are getting kind of thick. If there's any papers that you could recycle, pull out of there, please do that. I mean, keep in there what you need to keep in there, but they're getting a little thick, so that'd be helpful. Mr. Cleland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Bart McClellan, General Counsel for NetChoice. I'm going to do something a little different with this testimony. I'm going to refer to the written testimony, and a lot of good data, a lot of good points in there generally about data centers, and I urge everyone to take a look at it. I want to take a little time to address some of the, frankly, disturbing counter-arguments I've heard since I've been here, but as I travel around the country. So, and if you are following along, this is at the end of my written testimony, most of it. But critics and those with other agendas have often been presenting a lopsided view of the data center industry, often going so far as to not even provide a full statement of facts. Some have expressed concerns that tweaking the current program, as we're the chair is doing here in Minnesota, and making it an exemption instead of a refund is some kind of cause for concern. So I took a look at Minnesota tax statutes. Often on mention is the fact that this tax mechanism is currently used extensively in Minnesota as per Minnesota statutes, excise and sales tax, chapter 297A, section 297A.68. Even a brief glance at the current code reveals that various materials are currently provided an exemption, such as chemicals generally, chemicals, fuels, and electricity for industrial waste treatment, petroleum products and lubricants, even food and beverage packaging, and I just grabbed a few that I kind of liked when I looked at the list. If tax refunds have suddenly become a tax principle in Minnesota, then there's much work to be done, and we should be having a completely different conversation to bring the tax code into compliance. But discriminating against a particular industry, particularly an industry that puts Minnesota on a footing for not just today, but far into the future, seems like a poor public policy decision. I also have heard that this bill somehow is a corporate giveaway, which is an interesting argument. The change as proposed is merely one of timing, that is from going to an exemption. Taxpayers are never paying or being denied something because of the minor changes that are being made. Finally, I want to just do a quick point on Iowa as a recent example of the economic impact to the state. I've heard extensively there will be no economic impact to the state. So I just picked I'm a Midwesterner, so I love picking Midwestern states, number one, but number two, a neighbor to y'all. And from 2021-2023, there was $629 million annually given to local GDP. Workers have gained directly, which excites me, with approximately 5,510 direct, indirect, and induced jobs. And annual labor income contributions are, what I think, an eye-popping $380 million in direct, indirect, and induced income. Better jobs, vibrant careers, and more financially stable households are the result. And growing up in the Midwest in the 80s, when my daddy got laid off because of the auto industry churn, that speaks loudly to me. Net choice members who build and operate hyperscale data centers are leaders for prioritizing sustainability. I've heard the opposite of this repeatedly, not just in water, but also in energy efficiency and adding clean and renewable energy to local grids, adding clean water. I just want you to keep this in mind, because you'll hear some argue that somehow we're using up all the clean water, or there's going to be some kind of problem. These additional investments in energy and water restoration also support local jobs. In the end, Minnesota should adopt HF 1277 so the state can compete for large-scale data centers that have yet to locate here, and thereby enjoy the jobs and the economic impacts and the promise for tomorrow to come. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Questions for the witnesses? I have two so far, Representative Smith and then Gomez. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for coming to the committee. This is probably for Ms. Comstock, but either one of you could answer this question. So I'm glad you brought up Virginia. I'm going to talk about it a little later. And you brought up specifically Virginia's 2024 report that came out in December. It's quoted in this handout that we have here. It says data center, so this is the handout that I'm looking at, members of the committee, that I think you all presented to us. The study found that current rates appropriately allocate costs to the customers responsible for incurring them, including data center customers. Now, that is in the report. But, Chair and members, I think it's important to read the next sentence in the report. I read the report last night because I wanted to see how these numbers stacked up. The next sentence, however, data centers' increased energy demands will likely increase system costs for all customers, including non-data center customers, for several reasons. I'm not going to read the whole paragraph, but it concludes that non-data center users, including residential customers, could see their costs rise anywhere from $14 to $37 a month, specifically because of data centers. How would you respond to this other part of this report that you're citing as a reason that we should do this in Minnesota?
Ms. Comstock.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Virginia, as I mentioned, is the number one place for data centers, and we have had the most expansive use and the most expansive growth of data centers. And as the report indicated, we have paid for our use. And before, when people go in and when they're sited and when the localities do this, they work with the local governments and power companies, and they don't go in a place and do that without all of those accommodations. So this is the place with the most growth, with the most use of data centers, and they have not had that problem yet. Yes, you are correct, that is in the report, but going forward, we don't agree with that part of it because we are going to continue to work to make sure that we use the solar energy, wind, we add to the grid, and we are using nuclear in some areas. So these are issues that are, because getting more abundant energy in all areas, the governor is working in this. I'll point out two Democrat governors, two Republican governors have supported this growth of data centers there. So this is a the energy issues are things that we have to deal with all of our industries, and we are dealing with that in Virginia, as are all of your surrounding areas in Iowa, elsewhere. Like in, I would point out, in Oklahoma, for example, a lot of their use in data centers is with wind, right? I think a large part of it. So it's dependent on your region and on your area what type of energy you would be using. So those decisions are made up front before your localities would cite something, what kind of energy you have available.
Professor Smith.
So I would just say, Mr. Chair and testifiers, I mean, these are on the handout. You have this very big section about all of the positive things this report talks about, which, you know, is something to consider, certainly. But you just said you disagree with all of the other sort of negative things that are said in this report. And the report goes on and says in the next 5 years, just based on current contracts, the gigawatt per hour average monthly usage in Virginia is going to double because of proposed data centers. That in this bill, we are asking Minnesota to start trying to entice into our state, and could triple by 2040 if unrestrained demand continues. That's in the report that you were quoting here. I'll have more to say about this later, Mr. Chair, as we get closer to talking about the bill generally. But I mean, you're using Virginia as a case study of some economic factors that could be positive, and I might grant you those. But it's also a key example of both environmental and energy impacts that are looking to be quite scary for that state into the future, that I don't think we want Minnesota to be looking like in the future. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Smith. Chair Gomez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, yeah, when you look at a report and you say, oh, I like this part, but I don't agree with all the rest of it, that's called cherry picking, and it's not really like it doesn't lend itself to kind of a credible argument, in my opinion. So I'm interested in this map that's included. It's on this, and then it's also embedded in one of the letters that we have in our packets. And so if you look at this map, we can't afford color printing at the Minnesota legislature, but I'll just tell you Minnesota's red on this map, which indicates that it has, quote, minimal or no comprehensive program. That might be come as a surprise to the chair who conceived of this program that it's minimal or not comprehensive, but can you tell me why it is that Minnesota is in red and some of our neighboring states are not? Is it just because of the sunset? Ms. Comstock?
Ms. Comstock? Or Mr. Phelan?
I can do that one. So I'll take the JLARC report first. So both of you are falling into the same argumentation trap, and you blew right through it. So the first part that you cited is what has happened in Virginia. Then there's this prospective piece of what could happen. That's what Barbara was explaining, that given the density of data centers in Northern Virginia, a lot of other factors, and factors that change state by state depending on what your energy input is, et cetera, that prospective is what we're saying. We don't think that's the way it'll turn out, because it turns out that in the history of data centers, when industry sees these potential problems coming, they don't just wallow in them, they fix those problems, and that has been the history. So, yes, the report is not, we're not cherry picking, we're saying that what they can analyze that has happened to date is good. It's the same thing I just did with Iowa. We could do the same thing with Minnesota. What is going to happen in the future is a question of, I know we don't like dynamic scoring here, but so dynamic thinking, I guess, that we will alter and change as things go forward. We won't just let all the bad happen. We will do what we can to moderate that, I would say, both from industry and I assume from government. I assume y'all aren't just going to stand by and watch things fall apart. On the map, sure. So the question of why Minnesota is red is, so if you look at the definitions here, and you did say it, what it is to say is it's not the 20-year exemption, right? So it's not blue. That's the other color. Let's see, what's close by. So Nebraska's in blue. I don't know if there's any gradation on your maps at all. And then permanent is in green. So Minnesota is not a 20-year exemption any longer, and it's not permanent. And so it's that timing, Mr. Chair, that we are now at whatever that is, 18 years. And if I were going to start thinking about putting a data center here, I would have to start doing site selection, right? You're looking at 4 or 5 years for site selection. That's before anything starts building. So there's no chance at any kind of exemption up until then. So however many years we're at that point, 12, 13, 14 years, you're at a very minimal amount of time. We refresh, give or take, about every 4 years. And so you're not going to get a whole life cycle of a data center. One other thing I'll say is we tend to, for Megascale, we build first phase, and that's what I was just talking about, timing for first phase, and then about every 24, 36 months or so, we're building another phase. So we wouldn't even be done building the data center by the time the current exemption would run out, much less for refreshing the materials. So that's why Minnesota is colored the color that it is, and that's why we've enjoyed your suggestion for tweaks to the legislation.
Mr. Chair?
Madam Chair.
Thank you. So can you tell me, because first of all, our exemption goes until 2042. So that's 17 years.
Yep.
So if this was 2.5 years ago, then we would be blue, but instead we're bright blinking red. So if you could tell me, as Ms. Hagler went over, there are three components to the Minnesota sales tax exemption for data centers. Can you tell me about North Dakota, about what is actually exempted from sales tax in North Dakota?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay, well, I know what it electricity is exempted and software is exempted. Building materials are not exempted. Can you tell me about the Iowa policy specifically? What's exempt and what's not?
Not exactly, but I do know in Minnesota you exempt all sorts of things for other industries, and we just want to be treated.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, that wasn't my
question.
I'm
losing control here. Okay. I'm kind of a control freak.
I know.
Chair Gomez, you have
Thank
the floor.
Thank you. So in Iowa, building materials are not exempt from sales taxes, building materials for data centers. In Wisconsin, electricity is not exempt tax exempt for data centers. So, this map really is sort of this like pictograph that's supposed to make us think that our subsidy is less generous when we literally have the most generous subsidy when you talk about the actual materials that are sales tax exempt in our region. And so, it's fine if you're going to come. I know some of these are just like communications materials, but it would be helpful if you had a little bit of nuance to bring to this conversation, because what you're telling us is that the $220 million that we currently give to big tech in sales tax exemptions is not enough, or that the timing of it is not enough, when actually it's really quite generous.
Mr. Chairman?
You still have the floor.
Thank you. Okay. So the other thing that I just want to talk about is your statements about the structure of the sales tax exemption. And you had some pretty reactionary language to use about it and said that we were discriminating against data centers, which is an interesting supposition. But and you said that the change that's being proposed to the sales tax exemption is merely one of timing. And it's absolutely true that a lot of sales tax exemptions are upfront exemptions, especially to consumers, right? We don't make people pay taxes on groceries, collect their receipts, and then submit a form to the Department of Revenue. In part, that's because we have very good modeling of what consumer behavior is with respect to clothing and food and other things that we exempt from sales taxes. Now, the proposal here, I just want to be really clear with people, because we're trying, you're sort of preemptively trying to minimize this argument, which I would do if I were you too, so I understand why. But what we're proposing to do here is so as Ms. Hagler said, there's three components to this exemption. There's electricity, building materials, and software. Now, the software and building materials exemptions are refund-based exemptions. That means, like I just said, the companies are expected to hold on to their receipts, and they submit a form, and then they get a check back. What that means is that we, as policymakers, are able to track every single dollar of this exemption, of the software and the building materials components of it. Now, if we do an upfront exemption, we will have to rely on modeling, as we do for a lot of other sales tax exemptions, for which we have much better data. And so what this proposal would do is it would take our ability as policymakers to track the scale of this tax exemption that's going to the largest tech companies in the world in a moment where this industry, as you say, is growing. And so I just really wanted, because it got brought up, I just wanted to make that point. Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's not a question. No,
thank you, Madam Chair. You said something. I want to get this clear. I might have to go to House Research. What is a pictograph?
Oh, man. I meant...
I'm old.
What was it? I meant infographic.
Oh, I don't understand that either, but that's fine.
I don't know why you want a picture.
I thought it was I thought like an Etch-a-Sketch or something.
It sounds like that.
Sounds like that. Okay, thank
1980s
you.
1980s toy, I'm pretty sure.
Actually, 60s. But
Spirograph.
Okay, where am I? Okay, let's go to Representative... Okay, thank you. Okay, so any other questions for the two witnesses? One's from Virginia. Are you from, you said Midwest?
I'm from Illinois and Missouri.
Okay. Well, welcome to the committee. Thank you for your testimony. We'll now move on to an Andrew Campo, Minnesota Pipe Trades Association, if you could please join us. Please state your name and who you represent for the record.
Chairman and members of the Taxes Committee, my name is Andy Campbell. I'm the president of the Minnesota Pipe Trades Association, representing over 9,000 skilled trades professionals in the fields of plumbing, pipe fitting, gas fitting, sprinkler fitting, and HVACR service. I'm here today to offer my enthusiastic support for HF 1277. At the outset, I want to thank Chair Davids for authoring this bill. I also want to thank Representative Hewitt, Dodseth, Norris, and Witte for their support. My union supports this bill for one simple but powerful reason, jobs for our members. These data centers will provide an unprecedented amount of jobs for our members, both building the data centers as well as ongoing maintenance, repair, and upgrade work. These are career-building, family-sustaining jobs that are coveted by our members. To give you an idea of what the data centers mean to us, take the current Rosemount worksite as an example. For comparison, we have 170 folks on-site in Rosemount today. At the peak of the U.S. Bank Stadium build, we had 110 members on-site. Keep in mind, this is just one data center. Moreover, the owners of these data centers are excellent partners. They share our commitment to the highest of worksite safety standards and work hard to create an attractive workplace. For example, they provide heated locker facilities and restrooms. They also provide hot food. While some might call these creature comforts, those same people likely don't spend their workday outside in a Minnesota winter on a 12-hour shift. In closing, HF 1277 is a high legislative priority for the Minnesota pipe trades. This has to be the year this bill becomes law. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I'm happy to stand for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Campo. Questions for Mr. Campo with the Minnesota Pipe Trades Association. Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question, Mr. Campo. So is your organization concerned at all that, you know, if we're not a friendly place for these to be built, whether that's through sales tax exemption or whatnot, are you concerned at all that they would be simply built someplace else? And is that a concern of your trade?
Mr. Campbell?
Absolutely it is. And thank you. I'm sorry, Chair Davids. Yes, thank you. Absolutely we are concerned about that. We have seen projects in the past that have left Minnesota or been pushed out of our state due to lack of support. And they have been built in other states. And you know, like I had said, our members are union, and there is no guarantee if they do get pushed out of the state that they will be built by highly skilled trades workers like ours. So that is a huge concern for us.
The gentleman from Lyon? Okay, any other questions? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for this. And I have visited other trades, including the electricians, and they're all very excited about the opportunities this is going to provide their families. But one of the things, too, is what's different about this project, an ongoing project, is this is not, as you use the example of the U.S. Stadium, a project that maybe takes 2 years. This is a project and work that will enable families to build, you know, part of the community in long-term and future generations of joining the union, of working for years and years and years to come, correct?
Mr. Campo.
Chair Davids, that, thank you for the question. I do agree with you 100%. So once these data centers are finished being built, that is not the end of the road for our members and employment there. Just for us, we will have in the Rosemont site 10 to 20 sustained employment positions that are doing maintenance and upgrades. And to the testifiers before me, typically what we've seen with data centers is it's within a couple of years, if shorter, if not shorter amount of time, that expansions happen. So the I agree with you 100% that in an industry where you often don't get much more than a 6 month outlook of work, we see years of work with these data centers and security for our members' families.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, if there's no further questions for Mr. Campo, thank you for your, or Campo, thank you for your testimony. Let's go to Peter Wagenius, Legislative and Political Director, Sierra Club North Star Chapter. Mr. Wagenius? Okay. If somebody sees Mr. Wagenius come in, I'll let the chair know and we'll get him on a little bit later. Tanner Fritzinger, Political Affairs Coordinator, Minnesota Association of Professional Employees. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir, and welcome to the Tax Committee.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Tanner Fritzinger, and I'm a Political Affairs Coordinator with the Minnesota Association of Professional Employees. We are a union representing over 18,500 state employees across all agencies, boards, and commissions. Thank you for the opportunity today to testify in opposition to House File 1277. House File 1277 raises concerns for us as it extends costly tax exemptions to corporations with little regard to the financial stability of the general fund. Beyond the implications on the state budget, we are concerned with the implicit cost that comes with the proliferation of large-scale data centers, including increased energy demand and environmental impacts from increased water consumption. Under current law, sales tax exemption for data center equipment, construction and maintenance will cost $230 million in 26 and 27. This is more than 23 times larger than its estimated cost of less than $10 million in the 18 and 19 biennium. As large-scale projects of this growing industry enter the state, this program could easily grow well beyond its current size and depriving our state general fund the stability that it desperately needs in the face of large-scale federal funding cuts and a projected budget deficit in the next biennium. It is short-sighted to provide such an enormous tax break for major corporations in this economic climate. Furthermore, allowing a tax, an upfront tax exemption instead of the current refund model for large-scale data centers prevents the public and the legislature's ability to accurately track the size of the program and inhibits the state's ability to readily verify the program's costs. We hope that as public stewards of our tax dollars, you strongly reconsider abdicating your ability to provide meaningful oversight to this program. Beyond the loss of revenues and ability to collect reliable data, new large-scale data centers could present additional investment requirements from the state. The introduction of more and larger data centers will increase water consumption and place a larger strain on Minnesota's energy grid. Our state has had a long-held commitment to a responsible regulatory environment aimed to ensure we adequately maintain the natural resources we need and to support a reliable energy grid. MAIT members in these agencies already face significant staffing challenges in processing permitting requests or initiating utility rate case reviews. Allowing this program to grow uncontrolled puts additional pressure on agencies' internal regulatory framework with no additional investment. House File 1277 is not a benefit to Minnesota's citizens or the employees that help make our state work. Instead, House File 1277 expands an unnecessary handout to corporations at the expense of the state's financial stability and our communities for a discounted price. We ask that you oppose this bill. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions for the testifier from members? Thank you very much, sir. Let's go to Aaron Clems. Hope I said that right. Please identify yourself for the record and who you represent.
Thank you, Chair David. You got my name right. Members of the committee, my name is Aaron Clems. I am the Chief Strategy Officer at the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy, or MCEA, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify on HF 1277. MCEA is a public interest law firm and nonprofit advocacy organization with a 50-year history of defending Minnesota's environment and the health of its people. MCEA opposes HF 1277, although we agree there's an immediate need to address the current open-ended and uncapped sales tax rebate available to data centers. When this tax rebate was adopted in 2011, it had an estimated fiscal impact of $5 million annually. The existing tax rebate would dwarf this cost in 2025 and beyond. HF 1277 makes the problem of accountability for supersized mega data centers worse by converting the current rebate into a point-of-sale exemption. Under the present system, a data center owner simply needs to submit receipts to receive a refund, kind of like a lot of us do on our taxes. Under HF 1277, the largest data centers simply wouldn't pay sales tax on eligible products. Under the current system, Minnesota taxpayers at least know exactly how much is being spent annually. Under HF 1277, we wouldn't. There are some voluntary certifications that are attached to that exemption in HF 1277, and that's a small step in the right direction. But if we care about energy efficiency, if we care about the cost of electricity and the reliability of electricity, if we care about water consumption, if we care about the metals and materials consumed by these data centers, if we care about ensuring data centers are properly sited, then we should be establishing clear Minnesota standards that must be met rather than allowing data centers to pick and choose which voluntary certification they want to pursue. And I also want to remind you just from the earlier testimony, this is an ongoing issue. Both the tax exemptions and the electricity demands and the water demands, every 4 years, they would be replacing most of the computer equipment in these data centers. It's a huge amount of material, a huge amount of metals, and a huge amount of water and electricity. I want to conclude by noting who benefits the most from HF 1277, the wealthiest industry that has ever existed on this planet. This is not an exemption for mom-and-pop Main Street businesses. This is a bill that specifically benefits the very largest data centers, over $250 million, run by the very largest big tech corporations for even easier access to potentially hundreds of millions of dollars of sales tax exemptions, a burden that should not be carried by Minnesota taxpayers. As this committee and this legislature assembles the next budget, every dollar sent to the tech giants trades off with a dollar for schools, healthcare, and other essential government services. As it stands, MCEA is concerned that Minnesota does not have a framework in place to properly weigh the major negative impacts of hyperscale data centers. Instead, this bill would simply pay them to be here regardless of those impacts. That's why we ask you to vote no on HF 1277 and remove the existing tax breaks in statute as well. Thank you so much for your time, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Clems. Questions? Representative Lee.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to follow up on Mr. Clems' point that equipment has to be purchased every 4 years, and so I'm curious what typically happens to that electronic waste.
Mr. Clems.
Chair David, Representative Lee, I don't know the answer to that question. I think we do have a problem with electronic waste in Minnesota generally. There are bills that are introduced this session to address that and to incentivize the recycling of electronic waste. I'm sure that the folks that represent the industry would be better placed to answer that question, though, if you don't want to ask them.
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Chair. And then one last question. I know this was brought up earlier in other testimonies. I'm just curious if you know how the water quality in Minnesota compares to other states that are data center, you know, mass hubs like Virginia.
Chair David, Representative Lee, I don't know how to compare that to all the different states. I will say that Minnesota has, you know, a lot of groundwater resources, but those groundwater resources aren't infinite, especially considering when you concentrate as many of these data center proposals as are concentrated in a specific area, so Dakota County, which already suffers from a pretty significant drawdown in its groundwater table, and is also facing other demands. There's the Niagara water bottling plant that moved into Elko New Market or is being constructed right now. There's a massive wave of residential development as well. So I don't know how to compare it to other states, but I will say that in Minnesota, we don't have an infinite amount of groundwater resources, especially considering where these new proposals are being concentrated.
Representative Lee. Thank you. Any other questions for the testifier? Okay, let's go to Aurora Botran. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please. And then you have somebody else there with you. Who's that?
Mr. Chair.
Oh, you're next.
He's
okay.
Not with me.
Okay.
I kind of stepped in it, didn't I? I kind of did.
Okay, Miss Botran.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Aurora Botran, and I'm the legislative director for 100%. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today on our concerns with House File 1277. We are strongly opposed to extending the data center tax credit and to reducing the transparency of its administration for qualified large data centers. While we have concerns about this bill, we do appreciate its creation of a category for large data centers and the addition of responsible requirements for them. As we enter an uncertain time with the future of federal funding becoming less certain every day, and with our current budget projection putting us in a deficit in fiscal years 28-29, we need all options on the table and all information possible for legislators to make difficult decisions about how and where Minnesota makes investments. The change in how this tax credit is administered does the opposite, preventing us from seeing the true cost of this credit, specifically for the largest data centers. Additionally, having these companies pay sales tax in the future is not a punishment. It's having them contribute toward the public goods and services that both the data centers and their employees will rely on. Every dollar given to a data center owner is a dollar we're not investing in a public school, a nursing home, or a clean energy solution. It's important to take a hard look at the value of this tax credit. Minnesota ought to approach the future of large data centers with care. Their impact on communities is big, as is their public price tag. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for the testifier? 2 days in a row. Sometimes you just get lucky. What can I say? Okay, so next we have Mr. Gavin Hansen, who is not with Ms. Botran. Just, I'm going to be clear for the record. Mr. Hansen, please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Mr. Chair, that's my fault. Just tried to expedite the process a little bit, so I apologize. Chair Davids and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify today in support of House File 1277. My name is Gavin Hansen, and I serve as the Fiscal and Economic Policy Director for the Minnesota Business Partnership. MBP represents over 100 business leaders and executives whose companies collectively employ nearly 500,000 Minnesotans across a diverse range of industries, significantly contributing to America's headquarters economy. Thanks to Chair Davids and the bipartisan co-authors for introducing House File 1277, an important piece of legislation that will enhance the state's ability to attract future investments worth billions of dollars. Today, I want to focus on a key aspect of this legislation, the timing of the sales tax exemption and the significance for qualifying businesses. Under current Minnesota law, qualifying data center purchases are exempt from sales and use tax. However, businesses must first pay the tax upfront and then go through a lengthy and complex refund process administered by the Department of Revenue. This process imposes an unnecessary administrative burden on taxpayers. To secure a refund, businesses must compile a detailed schedule of qualifying purchases and provide supporting invoices. The department often requests additional documentation such as vendor contracts and frequently rejects electronic invoice submissions, forcing taxpayers to work with vendors to obtain pro forma invoices. Further complicating matters, the department routinely challenges the location of use, requiring taxpayers to submit affidavits or other proof to demonstrate the purchases were used at qualifying data centers. The review process can take months, and if disputes arise, appeals can take years to resolve. That delays businesses' access to capital and consumes substantial resources to comply with and defend claims. Importantly, Minnesota already has strong safeguards in place. The department already has audit authority, and the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development certifies qualifying data centers, ensuring proper oversight. Transitioning to an upfront tax exemption rather than a refund-based process would bring Minnesota's tax policy in line with best practices. This reform would eliminate unnecessary administrative hurdles, allow businesses to free up capital for reinvestment, strengthen Minnesota's competitive position in attracting data center investments, all without compromising accountability. Minnesota's existing data center sales tax exemption has proven track record of success. companies are increasingly considering Minnesota as a prime location for major investments, which translates into thousands of construction jobs and million in local tax revenues. House File 1277 represents a common-sense solution, one that simplifies compliance, promotes economic growth, and positions Minnesota as a national leader in attracting private investments. We urge the committee to support this reform and streamline the process for taxpayers. Thank you for your time and your consideration.
Any questions for Mr. Hansen?
Chair Gomez.
I guess more a comment. I'm because you sort of characterize this as lengthy, burdensome, unnecessary, an administrative hurdle, an administrative burden, but it sounds kind of a lot like any of us. When we pay our taxes, we have to keep the receipts, like if we expect a deduction for it. So, and I don't have an accountant, but I think that Google and Amazon and Meta probably do have accountants. And so I just think it's an interesting characterization of like literally the process that anybody who has any, like if you have 1099 income, you got to keep your receipts. If you're an Uber driver, you keep your gas receipts. It's like, it's part of the process. So I guess I just wanted to say that about the characterization of this process and that it's kind of like how you pay your taxes. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair Gomez. Any other questions for Mr. Hansen? Thank you, sir. The next testifier is Sarah Meridian. Help me out here. I'm drowning.
I think you got it the second time, Chair. Thank you, Chair Davids, committee members. My name is Sarah Meridian, and I'm the Government Relations and Policy Director for CURE, a rurally based nonprofit organization dedicated to protecting and restoring resilient towns and landscapes by harnessing the power of the people who care about them. I appreciate the opportunity to testify today in opposition to HF 1277.
And welcome to the committee.
Thank you. As has already been said, under existing law, qualifying data centers can claim a sales tax exemption for their purchase of certain equipment, software, and electricity. The usual sales tax applies at the time of purchase, but qualifying data centers can then be refunded for those purchases by the Department of Revenue if the data center shows their work and deed certifies that the data center meets the requirements under the law. Under House File 1277, the largest data centers, hyperscalers, would no longer be required to show their work because the sales tax exemption would apply up front at the time of purchase. Instead, the data centers themselves would certify that they will meet the requirements of the exemption, and any certification by deed or the Department of Revenue about compliance would occur before any purchase is made. This is not about timing. This is about transparency. This kind of system eliminates transparency about the total cost to Minnesota taxpayers and runs counter to efforts being made by this legislature and administration to combat waste, fraud, and abuse. Again, it's important to remember that this sales tax exemption already exists. Without this bill, data centers will still be able to receive the benefits of a generous sales tax exemption, will still be able to do business in Minnesota, and will still be able to deliver on their promises of good-paying jobs and economic benefits to our state. They'll just need to continue showing their work. This is not an unreasonable expectation, nor is it discrimination of an industry that stands to make some of the wealthiest companies on the planet even wealthier, while asking Minnesota to provide ongoing access to significant amounts of land, electricity, and water. Thank you.
No, thank you. Any questions for the testifier? Thank you very much. Let's go to Ivana Stark, State Director of Clean Water Action. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I'm Ivana Stark, State Director of Clean Water Action Minnesota. Our mission is to protect the land we live on, the air we breathe, and the water that we drink. I'm here representing tens of thousands of our Minnesota members, and we urge you to reject House File 1277. Our interest in data centers stems from their consumption of huge quantities of water.
Ma'am, could you please bring the microphone a little closer? We want to hear what you have to say.
Is that better?
Yeah. Thank you.
Our interest in data centers stems from their consumption of huge quantities of water and their use of an array of chemicals to aid in refrigeration and building maintenance. Across Minnesota, thousands of residents are exposed to toxic chemicals and unclean water through no fault of their own. By appropriately taxing billionaires, we can invest in meaningful cleanup and the protection of our natural resources and water. I keep notice the trend of lobbyists flying into Minnesota to tell us what to do, but they get to go home and they don't have to live with or pay for the consequences. I think I heard an earlier implication that the interest in Minnesota is because we lack firm regulations, and that's quite concerning. Data centers cost Minnesotans money. as our water resources are depleted and cleanup costs are applied. Giving billionaires more tax breaks when average Americans are struggling to buy basic necessities isn't the answer. These companies can afford to pay their fair share. Google has $30 billion in profits. Meta has $62 billion in profits. Microsoft has $80 billion in profits. We can have facilities that offer jobs and pay their fair share in taxes. On August 4th, 2024, ProPublica published an article called How Washington Tax Breaks for Data Centers Snowballed into One of the State's Biggest Corporate Giveaways. This article explains that once tax breaks were given in Washington State, the goalposts kept moving. It's an important warning for us. First, job promises were made, but they can't actually say how many jobs the state got. Second, repeated expansions turned the tax breaks into one of the biggest corporate giveaways in the state. Third, unintended consequences occurred. The tax break rewarded growth of an industry whose massive demand for electricity could threaten the clean energy efforts in Washington. We've seen this play out in the state after state across the country, and we know how this story ends. We have an opportunity to do better. Our natural resources can't afford the strain of billions of gallons of water to keep data centers running, and our neighbors can't afford to write the check. Per the earlier comments about the tax exemptions, there are pieces of legislation in the works in the other body to assess current tax exemptions in other areas and whether or not those are appropriate, so we are aware of this. And it's being worked on. This isn't a discriminatory attack on data centers. We aren't advocating to tax success. We are advocating to tax greed. The argument that data centers are popping up everywhere, so we have to give them whatever they want, was made in a House committee last week. But this falls short with us. We are not unreasonable enough to say that data centers can be stopped. But we do think that they should pay their fair share in taxes and follow appropriate permits to protect our water. We shouldn't be asking how we can sacrifice enough to entice them, but rather pose the question, how will these businesses be good neighbors and honor our environment and residents? Why are we bearing the burden of courting those who have everything at the expense of those who have very little in comparison? Creating regulatory and fiscal loopholes for data centers in Minnesota harms our residents and our natural resources. So we're here and we are open to future conversations about how to operate data centers without free giveaways, and we urge a no vote. Thank you, and I stand for questions.
Thank you. A couple questions. Yes. You mentioned this was heard in a House committee last week.
There was a hearing last week in the Energy Committee where a statement was made that these centers are coming, they're popping up, so we should just do whatever. And so that was my response to that statement that was made.
Well, I agree with that, but yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So a couple things here. I think you said five times fair share. Can you please define that? Well, what does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you are making $80 billion in profits, having to pay no taxes is not fair.
Okay. How much would be fair?
I think that that is, I'm not a tax attorney, so I would have to look at what businesses are typically taxed. So I think we have to look at a typical business, what they're paid. I'll tell you that I work for a nonprofit. My husband is a small business owner. He's an appliance repair tech, and we had to pay $18,000 last year. We have two kids. We have a modest little home in Fridley, cute little family, and it really is difficult that we have to spend all year planning for $18,000 when 80, 60, even a $5 billion company doesn't have to pay any.
That's why, Chair Goldman, you hire an accountant.
So I've heard.
Yeah, it works great.
I think
great.
What she meant to say was fair share is more than zero if you make $80 billion.
There you go. There you go. That's fair enough.
Exactly.
And
that.
I do. That was good. That was good. I do just have to. I do have to back up just a little bit because a little trivia here. We gotta have a little trivia here. Clean Water Action, when I ran in 1991, endorsed me.
Wonderful.
They sent a worker down to help me. Do you know who that was?
Ooh, 1991, might it have been?
No, 91, I'm not that old. 91.
Yeah, 91.
91.
Might it have been Frank Hornstein?
No!
Yeah. Hornstein went door to door for me. I can say that now because he's not serving anymore. But I sure have. That's my job.
Mr. Chair, we also have the Frank Hornstein Lifetime Achievement Award that everyone can aspire to receive at Brunch for Better every year.
Do I have to vote no on my bill? Okay, so Thank you very much. Thank you very much. A very good testimony. Let's go to Angela Kapp. Is Angela here?
Yep.
If you please state your name and who you represent for the record, please. And welcome to the Tax Committee.
Thank you. Hello, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Angela Kapp. Thank you for allowing me to speak in opposition to this bill. I have worked in early childhood education for over 30 years. And up until last year, I owned and operated my own childhood program for over 12 years. I have served as a teacher, a director, a coach for early childhood providers, and an advocate for early childhood learning. I have seen this field from every angle, working directly with children, as I did this morning, and training new teachers, supporting programs that are struggling to stay open. I know firsthand the immense responsibility that comes for caring for young children. So why am I here at the Tax Committee meeting? I am speaking to a bill that it would extend tax breaks to data centers because I need to tell you about the opportunity costs of such a break. This tax break was originally expected to cost just $5 million a year, but it has grown to over $110 million this year and is set to explode way beyond that. Let me paint a picture of what's at stake from my perspective. 80% of a child's brain develops by age 3, meaning experiences they have in these early years shape the future. Despite the critical role that early childhood education plays, we continue to operate on razor-thin margins, with providers underpaid, families struggling to afford care, and programs facing constant uncertainty. Child care needs big investments, not just short-term fixes, but sustainable funding that ensures families can access quality care and providers can stay in business. We can't have that when corporations receive millions in tax breaks while early childhood programs struggle to keep their doors open. Currently, this tax break for the largest and richest corporations on the planet costs us $110 million a year, the same amount that child care programs are fighting for this year just to prevent scholarship cuts. That is money that could be helping real children, real families, real providers who are already stretched to their limits. If tax policies are being considered to support businesses, we urge the committee to prioritize funding solutions that directly impact children, families, and the workforce who depend on these essential services. Let me tell you what that means on the ground. I have seen families forced to make impossible choices, leaving jobs, piecing together inconsistent care, or going without child care altogether. Because scholarships or affordable options simply weren't available. And I have lived these struggles myself. I have had to close my child care programs due to the inability to find qualified teachers and the financial impossibilities of keeping classrooms open without proper funding. It is heartbreaking to tell families that we no longer have a place for their child, to see teachers leave the field in droves because they cannot survive on the wages, and to know we are losing good programs every single day because we are not making child care a funding priority. I understand that those who support this bill are saying we will bring jobs to Minnesota, but who will care for those people's children? Who will provide that care if our programs are closing at an alarming rate? Minnesota has a choice. We can continue giving handouts to corporations, or we can invest in our future, our families, our children, and our workforce. The child care system needs real funding, and scholarships are a critical part of making sure families can afford the care they need. We can build a state where families and the child care programs have what they need to succeed, but only if we invest in us instead of corporations. I urge you to make the right choice. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Kapp. Any questions for Ms. Kapp? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For coming in today. Okay, Zach Martin, Government Affairs. Now, just a little lay of the land here. We've got this room for tonight, but I think we're making pretty good progress here. I'd kind of like to get through all the testimony, at least, and I'd like to get over to Rep. Norris's bill so we take care of that one. And then what we would do is if we get done with my bill too, great. If not, we'll, rather than coming in tonight, we would just put it on Tuesday's agenda. So, okay, let's go to Mr. Martin.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair Davids and members of the committee. My name is Zach Martin, and I'm the Manager of Government Affairs for Elite Minnesota Power. And I'm here on behalf of Minnesota Power, an investor-owned utility with more than 150,000 customers in Duluth and Northeast Minnesota. Today, speak in support of HF 1277, and I want to thank Chair Davids and the other authors on this committee for your leadership on this important economic development issue. But I'd like to approach today's topic from a slightly different angle. If your district lies outside the seven-county metro, you know that attracting economic development and sourcing an adequate workforce can be very challenging. Most industries that are investing hundreds of millions of dollars are in manufacturing and require a substantial workforce, often working three shifts. This tends to place greater Minnesota at a competitive disadvantage to higher population regions when seeking these high-end investments. Large-scale data centers, on the other hand, provide the same hundreds of millions of dollars worth of investment, but require a slightly more modest workforce for ongoing operations in a single facility. This fact improves Greater Minnesota's opportunity to attract major investment. The bill requires facilities to invest at least $250 million to access this proposed state tax incentive. As you heard from some of the other testifiers, the investment is often well above that mark. Those dollars have very real and significant impacts for people and communities in Greater Minnesota. And Minnesota Power serves some of the largest industries in the nation and lowest income areas in the state, so affordability is top of mind. We're also committed to reaching the 100% carbon-free energy by 2040 goal. And we believe our area is uniquely appealing to large-scale data center placement, diversifying our economy, and employing thousands of Minnesotans. And if your district lies within the seven-county metro, the same economics argument applies. Hundreds of millions in investment and job creation improves the economic standing of any community. So thank you for the chance to testify. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for the testifier? Representative Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Also, in case anyone's wondering, Zach was my intern like 12 years ago, so.
It's true.
So before committee, he said, please be nice to me. But so I'm hoping this is maybe a softball question and curious, you know, we've heard before in from other testifiers that there currently already is a very generous exemption. You know, I think Amazon has like a $1 billion project in Becker already. So I'm curious, you know, if this bill didn't pass, you know, when other large corporations continue to want to come to Minnesota?
I'm sorry, say that very last part. I missed the.
If we didn't have HF 1277, you know, would not other corporations continue to come here?
Mr. Martin.
Yeah, so I think the bill is very focused towards large-scale data centers, and so as that new classification. I would say, you know, we're in competition with our neighboring states for this large investment, and what we're hearing is that Wisconsin, Iowa, and North Dakota have more attractive tax environments that are attracting that type of investment into their state. We would like to compete for that investment, and this bill, I think, would put us on a more even playing field with some of those other states to help bring them into Minnesota, which is why we support this bill. And yes, I love being your intern, and here I am again, still reporting back to you. So.
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I appreciate that. You know, and I think, you know, my only comment is, actually I have, I guess, two comments. You know, in Minnesota, we enjoy a really good quality of life. Our students test very well compared to other students across the country. We have the highest amount of colleges per capita. And so, you know, compared to our other neighbors, we have a really well-educated workforce that I know Fortune 500 companies talk about a lot. And so I understand that, you know, we also have the most generous sales tax exemption. And so for me, it's just really hard to buy the argument that we are not competitive when we are already getting a lot of these, you know, big investments. And I think... I appreciate you also explaining this to me, Mr. Martin, about the intention behind this bill to really seek out, you know, the larger scale data centers. And I'm not sure that that's actually good for Minnesota when we think about the environmental impacts. And I'd leave us with a finding from the ProPublica report that Ms. Stark mentioned earlier, that in Washington State, they gave incredibly generous concessions, I guess, if you will, to corporations. And actually, here, I'll just read this really stark fact. Remarkably, Washington in recent years has gotten a smaller share of its electricity from renewable sources than it did 2 years ago, according to the most recent state data. And that despite the fact that the state produces a quarter of the nation's hydropower. And so I just want us to you know, think about the impact of, you know, what we're trying to do here, right? We are already getting this investment, and, you know, my concern is this is a turbocharged version of the sales tax exemption that I don't think we're ready for. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lee. Any other questions for Mr. Martin? Okay, thank you, sir. Patty O'Keefe, Regional Director of Volt Solar, if you could please come to the table. And then has Mr. Wagenius arrived by any chance?
I haven't seen him.
Okay, please state your name, who you represent for the record, please.
Hello, Chair Davids and committee members. My name is Patty O'Keefe. I'm the Midwest Regional Director at Volt Solar, an organization advocating for equitable solar as part of the transition to clean energy. Thank you for the opportunity to weigh in today on House File 1277. As an organization and an individual who cares deeply about our need to address climate change and how quickly we need to do it, I am concerned about this bill. I know this specific bill isn't about how these data centers will be powered, but it is about incentivizing them to come to our state, which will dramatically increase demand for energy. If built, the planned data centers for Minnesota could consume as much electricity as all 2.3 million households in the state. In states across the country, data centers are being used as excuses for keeping fossil fuel plants online for longer and even building new fossil fuel infrastructure. We already have a bill seeking to do that here, HF 28, and its companion SF 1393 in the Senate. If the demand on our grid is expected to double from data centers, it's especially bad when these companies aren't paying the taxes that could help pay for that infrastructure. And though you could argue that the tax portion of this bill isn't exactly in our lane, this giveaway, and yes, I do say giveaway, is too egregious to ignore. Right now, companies pay sales tax upfront and apply for a refund, creating at least some transparency around the program's cost. This bill scraps that safeguard, letting tech giants skip the tax entirely with no upfront payment, no oversight, and no clear accounting of the price tag. That's especially alarming given that the exemption has already ballooned from $4.7 million in 2018 to a projected $230 million in the next biennium, making it one of the most expensive corporate tax breaks in the state. Every dollar funneled into this giveaway is a dollar that won't be available for essential public services like schools, infrastructure, and healthcare. And unlike targeted incentives that drive broad economic benefits, this exemption overwhelmingly benefits a handful of massive tech companies while draining resources that should be invested in Minnesota families and communities. Mr. Cleland from NetChoice earlier mentioned poor public policy decisions. To me, this seems like a poor public policy decision. While these projects do create construction jobs, the long-term economic benefits are minimal. According to the Atlantic Journal-Constitution, a million-square-foot data center often employs only a few dozen workers. On a jobs-per-dollar basis, this is a bad deal for Minnesota taxpayers. We're handing over hundreds of millions in tax breaks to some of the wealthiest corporations in the world, yet once construction is complete, these facilities will contribute relatively little to long-term employment in our communities. Minnesotans are skeptical and not naive about this conversation. These are a few comments from a recent Star Tribune story on data centers.
Ms. O'Keefe, about how much long is your testimony? I don't want to cut you off here at all, but...
20 seconds?
I'll give you 30.
Thanks. Can we not? This is so stupid. These are comments on social media. Big tech gets whatever it wants, and the rest of us get scraps.
What did you just call me?
No.
She would never.
I would never. Yeah, no,
I didn't think you knew me that well.
Okay. This is what happens when billionaires buy our government. Shut this down. They need to pay taxes and set up renewable energy to offset usage. These city leaders are too eager to sign these contracts and get big-name IT companies here. They sign these contracts behind closed doors with secret terms. Horrible idea. Keep them out. We don't have the grid to support ourselves, let alone them. So Minnesotans are paying attention. And I don't think that most people here are against data centers. I think this is really just about, like, what has been said earlier. Are they paying our fair share? How are we making sure that we are protecting taxpayers, ratepayers, our environment, our water, our communities, if they are coming? And when we are at a time when corporate profits are at all-time highs, tech companies have outsized influence on our government, wealth inequality is continuing to get worse and worse. We're considering giving huge tax breaks to big tech, to billion-dollar corporations, and I think that we can do better than that. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Thanks for your testimony. Any questions for members? Thank you very much. Let's go to Sarah Wolf, and then we have Eric Bernstein and Joel Johnson. Then I do want the department to weigh in just a little bit, or that maybe we could wait. We'll see how we're doing here. Okay, please state your name, who you represent for the record, please.
Chair Davids and members of the committee, my name is Sarah Wolf, and I'm the Strategic Policy Director for Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light. Am I too close? Okay. MNIPL is an organization made up of 400 faith communities across the state, and we're committed to achieving a just and equitable energy future. I'd like to thank this committee for taking up HF 1227. It is a chance to revisit the tax exemptions we have put in place as a state and to perhaps reevaluate them. Much has changed since 2011. We understand more about the need for our electricity to be carbon free. We understand more about the accelerating depletion rate of aquifers. We understand more about how data centers affect surrounding communities. As Chair Davids and Gomez noted, and as this committee understands, under current law, data centers are not only exempt from the sales tax they might pay on the equipment and software they purchase, but they are also exempt from paying state sales tax for the electricity they use. We all pay 6.875% sales tax on electricity. Data centers don't. My bill totaled $8.08 in sales tax for the electricity I used last month. Many of you might have paid something similar. But the sales tax bill data centers paid for the electricity they used was nothing. None of the 62 data centers currently across Minnesota paid state sales tax on the essential and primary thing that they use, the electricity. I hope data centers, should they come, will be good neighbors. They aren't just looking to extract what they need and run, but good neighbors care about the community they are in. They want to do business with the community, be upfront with the community, be transparent about who they are, the resources they require, ensure their businesses pay their fair share. Data centers have an opportunity to model these qualities. Often what we're hearing is that they're falling short in some of these regards. In January, a proposed budget outlined numerous cuts, but also noted that eliminating loopholes in the state sales tax would help raise needed revenue. And I appreciate that fairness is a topic that can involve discussion, as we noted earlier, and also that it is what we have the opportunity to look at today. When we look at who benefits from these tax exemptions, it is the richest billionaires and companies in the world. And while it isn't bad to have wealth, it is inappropriate for those who hold such extreme wealth to try to change the law so that they have more, or so that they make it difficult for policymakers and the public to understand what they are gaining from the policy structure that exists. It is especially inappropriate to do that on the backs of those who have less. Those who have the most should significantly participate in supporting and protecting our communities. Thank you for the opportunity to look at and reevaluate this tax exemption structure for billionaires at this time.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Ms. Wolf? Okay, thank you. Okay, now we're going to go to Peter Wagenius, Bernstein, and then, or somebody else wishes to testify? No, Joel's last, right? Yeah. How long is your testimony, sir? Let's give him 45. What do you say? Okay. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Peter Wagenius, Legislative Director for Sierra Club North Star Chapter. Budgets are statements of our values, and that includes tax expenditures. The data center tax credit is an automatic, uncapped corporate giveaway that has already cost Minnesotans over $350 million. Originally estimated less than $5 million, the program has ballooned to over $110 million a year, and as the data centers proliferate, this will inevitably skyrocket further unless the legislature takes action. And who are we subsidizing? Not Minnesotans struggling to afford their lives, but the wealthiest corporations in the world, Amazon, Google, Microsoft. They don't need our tax dollars to make their profits even higher. These tax credits, notably, are not available to local Minnesota businesses. As our state faces a structural budget deficit, these handouts are fiscally reckless. What funding to services people rely on will be scaled back to perpetuate handing out more blank checks to corporations. The public will compare funding cuts in this year's budget to this tax credit, and they should. We were just talking about this at the church across the street. Worse is the conversion of this rebate to an upfront exemption. If this bill passes, we as citizens will no longer know how much corporate welfare we're shoveling out to big tech billionaires. As described in our letter, these centers are not just subsidy hogs hurting our budget and energy hogs hurting our grid. They're also water hogs, causing both water depletion and water pollution. Proponents argue that these facilities are going to go somewhere, so we should bring them to Minnesota because we're so good at environmental protections. Nonsense. Please visit peoplenotpolluters.com before assuming anyone can rely on the Walz administration to protect us from corporate polluters. PeopleNotPolluters.com, a project of 19 environmental organizations, documents 12 examples of polluter capture of state agencies. It includes examples where the courts and federal agencies had to step in when the Walz administration failed to protect Minnesotans and our environment. But we don't have a federal backstop anymore. Minnesotans are now on our own. If the legislature doesn't step up and insist Minnesotans are protected, then Minnesotans won't be protected. The path to Minnesota exceptionalism is not to assume it and brag about it, like inherited wealth, but rather to do the work to earn it. The legislature needs to develop comprehensive legislation to protect Minnesotans from multiple risks of data centers, and the bills so far go in the opposite direction. The theme of these bills is clear. Whatever big corporations want, big corporations get. Ask them no questions, just open the checkbook. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Wagenius? And you are, I served with your mother for many, many years. Probably before
yes, you
were
did.
Probably before you were born, maybe. I'm that old. Thank you for
I'm
your
older
testimony.
Than I look. She was 15 when I was elected.
Okay.
Happy to serve with you.
Thank you, Mr. Wagenius. Eric Bernstein, and then Mr. Johnson, then I'm not sure if we'll quite make it to the department. I've got some questions real quick there. Let's go to Mr. Bernstein. Welcome to committee, sir.
Chair Davids, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Eric Bernstein, and I'm the director of We Make Minnesota. We're a coalition of labor and grassroots organizations dedicated to a fair tax code and a state budget sufficient to meet Minnesota's public investment needs. Thanks for the opportunity to share our perspective on HF 1277, which would extend the sales tax exemption for qualified data centers and convert the program from a rebate to an upfront exemption. We're concerned about the prospect of extending this costly program, as well as the loss of transparency that will occur when taxpayers are no longer required to submit expenses for reimbursement. It's been a pretty robust conversation today, and I think a lot of important points have been made. The current program costs $230 million in 26-27. That's as it currently is, and that makes it one of Minnesota's largest corporate tax expenditures, and we do expect a lot of future growth. In our letter, we outline that industry research that suggests this could be $750 million easily by 2030-31, And we've heard a lot about Virginia. In Virginia, their program ballooned from $136 million in 2022 to $750 million in 2023. So we are concerned about that growth, and in particular with this proposal, we're very concerned that we'd lose track of it completely. So I just kind of want to note that again, because this program is already in the books, and it's not going to be cut off or shrunk by this proposal. We're just going to lose track of it. Mr. Hansen talked about the process of applying for this rebate as a taxpayer, and I think it was meant in the sense of this is onerous, but to me, as a Minnesota taxpayer, it sounded quite reassuring that corporations were having to file their due diligence and make sure that they're claiming this rebate legitimately. So wanted to highlight that point, and then also there's been a lot of talk about our policy as compared to other states and how we remain competitive, and just underline the score that there's a two big surveys out there of all 50 states that you can look at and outlines different data center incentive programs. We're one of eight states that exempts construction materials, the computer equipment itself, and electricity, and we're the only state in the region that does those three things. So the transparency that we require, the rebate version, that's really the one part of our policy that is, you know, a little bit tougher, and I think, as a Minnesota taxpayer, that's very reasonable. So repealing that, is a problem for our members who are working in under-resourced schools and hospitals and public facilities all across the state. And then the last point I just want to make, because in this committee particular, you wrestle with how to fund a very big, complex system of state and local governments and how to make our investment needs work while, not leveraging onerous burdens on the taxpayer. And so when we have a growing industry like this, and we grant it this exemption that grows into the future, as policymakers, when you pass something like that, you really tie your own hands. So I'm hoping that this point will land with both sides of the room here, because I hear a lot from on the left and on the right. On one hand, we want to invest in programs that make life easier for families, whether it's affordable childcare or healthcare. And then on the other side, wanting to reduce rates, wanting to incentivize businesses with a lower corporate income tax rate or something like that. A policy like this makes both of those goals almost impossible. If we narrow our tax base, you're all tying your hands about what you can do on the investment side and on the tax cut side. So we urge you to vote against this proposal. Thanks.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Bernstein? Sir Freiberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Bernstein. You mentioned that we would kind of lose track of this and that it could potentially grow. I mean, one thing I noticed about the bill is that it includes a definition of a qualified large-scale data center, and it says specifically that it's, you know, at least 25,000 square feet in size and that the cost of construction, investment, and computer software is at least $250 million in a 60-month period. I guess I was just curious if there's a risk. I mean, $250 million is obviously a lot, but I know that with inflation, it'll decrease in value over time. I mean, when you're talking about the value of this growing, are you referring to the possibility that this might eventually capture in more data centers just because of inflation and factors like that than it currently does?
Mr. Bernstein.
Chair Davids, Representative Freiberg, thank you for the question. Our understanding of the program is that both smaller scale and the new category of larger scale data centers, they'll both be able to access the program, just not upfront in the case of the smaller ones. So my comment is mostly just about the growth of this industry and about how, as more of these large scale and smaller scale data centers proliferate, in those large-scale categories, we won't know how much they're costing us anymore, or at least as readily. And it does seem like that is the part of the industry that's growing the fastest. So your point is probably correct that, data centers are growing, and thus more of them will be able to access this. But it is both segments that are concerning.
Chair Freiberg.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to the gentleman that wanted to speak for 2 minutes. See how generous I am? Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
My name is Adam Thompson. I'm an electrician with the IBEW.
Are you in favor of this bill or against it?
I'm in favor of it.
Well, you talk as long as you want.
Okay. So I just wanted to make a point about taxes. So I have this conversation about total taxes with people in Texas. You understand this. There's regressive taxes in Texas. There's no income tax. Well, we have income tax here, and sales tax is regressive. It's not the best way of doing things. But When people come in from Texas to build this stuff, because we don't have enough workers, they will come in from out of state, and they will come in and build this. And they will be paid $63.83 an hour. They will work 6-12s, and they will make over $200,000 a year. And then they will go home after a year and take 3 months off, right? So the income taxes that we get out of that is something like $15,000 for the state. And that has to count, too. It's the total taxes, not just the sales tax, that matter. So this does actually increase taxes for the state of Minnesota. It is not just sales tax that count. Those income taxes from people in Texas count. And then we get a hold of them. We say, this is how you could have it in Texas. Let us teach you how to organize. And what do you guys need help with? And, you know, we door knock on every union member's door in the state every election to try and get these things done. And that's it. That's I just wanted to make the point that we're also paying a lot of income taxes out of this. This is going to generate a lot of revenue for the state that way.
Thank you, Mr. Hoffman. Any questions for Mr. Hoffman?
Adam Thompson. Thompson.
Oh, Thompson?
Yes, sir.
It's Thompson?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Sorry about that. Okay, so members, what we're going to do now is we have one testifier left, and then we're not going to go to member questions unless it's for Mr. Johnson. But I'm not cutting anybody off because we're going to come back Tuesday on it. So I think it's a little dangerous for me to do that because you know how many questions you're going to think of over the weekend?
So many.
Big mistake. Huge, huge mistake. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Thank you, Chair Davids, members of the committee. My name is Joel Johnson. And I'm here on behalf of the IBEW State Council, which represents over 15,000 electrical workers from around the state, including hundreds that are already working on data centers being built here, and thousands more who will get work if we properly align state policy and taxes to encourage their siting in Minnesota. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. Thank you, Chair Davids, for introducing and carrying this bill. We're also really pleased to see bipartisan support reflected in your co-authors. We believe if we are fully to take advantage of the benefits of hyperscale data centers, and there are a lot of them, we need to make sure that state laws and taxes are aligned to encourage their construction here in Minnesota. Having them built and operated here in Minnesota means literally thousands of jobs for IBEW members when the facilities are being built, hundreds of permanent jobs when the centers are operational, and thousands of hours of work for other trades during construction, maintenance, and upgrades. We also have increased property taxes to schools and local governments. The 24/7 electrical demand helps make more efficient use of the electrical grid, particularly intermittent solar and wind resources. We really believe that this bill is important to attract these largest hyperscale data centers to the state. And it also means a lot of work for our members, and these are really good jobs. I will say, you know, we have a couple of contractors who build these across the country. We have crews that go out to other states to build these with our members. But it really means a lot for our members if they can have work that's close to home, where they can go home at night, have dinner with the family. And there, as was mentioned just previously, their taxes go to pay for schools and the community and everything that supports our good work here in the state. So I'm available to answer any questions, and I urge your support.
Thank you very much. Representative Swinziski, to the testifier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, just real quick. And I've heard this from workers that I've visited with that are commuting from the metro area here to a data center job that's by Milwaukee. So it's not just it's workers here that go there. It's a kind of just as the energy goes, the people flow.
Any other questions for Mr. Johnson, Representative Herr, and then Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And not maybe as much of a question, but maybe a comment on this, the data, the statistics that the last two testifiers have presented about. And they're absolutely right that there will be income taxes that are paid, but I just want us to put us in perspective that based on all the data and the reports, it says that these types of centers, data center would create like 1,000 jobs. And if you think about just based on the numbers that the previous testifier provided, and I know you didn't provide specific dollar amount, but 15,000, if you take that, multiply that by 1,000, that's $15 million. $15 million we're getting in versus the billions of dollars that we're giving in tax breaks. I just don't think that that is actually a fair comparison or a compelling one.
Thank you, Representative Hurt. Representative Smith, keep it short here
because
I want to get to the Norris bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That was just a clarifying question. So you just one of the major arguments for this bill is it's bringing jobs, and you just said something that made it sound like these jobs we're creating, it's very likely that many of those will be out-of-state workers coming in to take those jobs and then leaving after the project is done. Did I understand you correctly?
Mr. Johnson?
Chair Davids, Representative, depending on how many centers are being built at the same time in the state, there is a good likelihood that we will need to attract other IBEW members from nearby states. And again, there are some contractors that just their focus of their work are data centers, and they generally will travel around the country in building these. And we do have, as I mentioned before, we do have Minnesota contractors who do this work and who do travel around the country.
Representative Smith?
I just think that's notable.
And members, I'm not cutting off member discussion because we're going to pick it up again on Tuesday, but I would like to get to the Norris bill. So what I'm going to do is lay it over for possible inclusion. That way on Tuesday I can just bring it back up. So that's what we'll do here. And now let's go, Representative Norris, if you could go with that. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Thank you. And thanks to everybody that testified for the bill or with concerns. So we appreciate that. Okay, so Representative Norris moves. And to the department, we'll just pick on this issue. We'll pick you up on Tuesday. And while we have people going out, could I get that back and I'll give it back to you? Okay, so for next week, just so we kind of know where we're headed, we don't have anything scheduled for Thursday. On March 4th, Tuesday, we'll pick up this bill. Then we have House File 812, the Wiener bill. Then we have House File 457, Harder. House File 633, Nadeau. And we had House File 805, Joachim, but apparently, Professor Joachim, you want to go into the next week.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I'm going to need some time. There are daycare providers that need time to get
that's what we'll do then.
Things settled.
Okay. Then Wednesday is House File 403, a Myers bill, 951, David's telecom bill, 859, Baker sales tax exemption bill, and then House File 1088, a Coulter bill, property tax exemption extended for property held for economic development. So that's kind of lay of the land. Thursday, we have nothing scheduled. I want to talk to Chair Gomez about what we're looking at for Thursday. Representative Norris, two-year bill. Representative Norris moves House File 1006 to be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill.
Thank you, Chair Davids. Thank you, members. Pleased to present House File 1006 regarding land banks and property tax abatement. So land banks have proven to be a valuable tool for promoting the development and preservation of affordable housing and Main Street businesses. And one of the ways they accomplish that is by purchasing and taking title to a property, holding it for a specified period of time, and then selling it to mission-oriented owners. One of the costs that land banks incur when they're holding that property is property taxes. By reducing that property tax bill during the holding period, it allows the land bank to sell the property to the ultimate mission-oriented owner for a lower cost, which then allows that ultimate owner to utilize the property at a lower cost as well, whether that's affordably housing people, providing space for small businesses and entrepreneurs. This bill achieves that goal by giving local taxing jurisdictions the option to abate property taxes for land bank held properties. Now, I'll emphasize that this is purely optional. If local officials wish to utilize this tool, they can. If they don't wish to, they're not required to. But it's one important way that communities can help land banks accomplish their mission more efficiently. And with that, Chair Davids, I do have a testifier.
Very good, and we'll get right to testify. But didn't we hear this bill last year?
Yes, Chair Davids, good point. This is another one of those bills that we heard last year. There was broad bipartisan support for it. It was included in the taxes bill and then unfortunately got left on the platform when the train left the station at the end of session.
To your witness, please state your name and who you represent for the record, please.
Good day, Chair Davids and Gomez. I'm Eddie Landenberger.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. I'm Eddie Landenberger. I'm Vice President and Program Director of Land Bank Twin Cities, a social impact real estate nonprofit working directly across the seven county metro area. We also invest in and support a lot of the developers that build and manage affordable housing throughout Minnesota. Since 2009, the Land Bank Twin Cities has been breaking barriers in the real estate market, disrupting inequities and empowering communities to build wealth, grow potential, and drive lasting change. Land Bank Twin Cities plays a critical role in Twin Cities' affordable housing and economic development ecosystems, where we lend and we land bank. We are laser focused on using our balance sheet to create efficiencies in property purchases and pass those savings on to homeowners, renters, affordable housing developers, service providers, and more. Our purpose is to stabilize property values, leverage investment for economic growth, and promote lasting affordability of all real estate. This voluntary tax abatement tool will allow cities and counties who choose to opt in access more of the land bank services and put underutilized properties on the path to higher and better use, additional investment, and higher tax base for everybody.
Thank you. Any questions for the testifier? I've got one question, I think, to the author. I think you had mentioned in your comments to the ultimate owner. Are there requirements to be an ultimate owner? Does that be a not-for-profit? Does that be an individual, a corporation, LLC? Who can be the ultimate owner?
Mr. Davids, there is no ultimate rule on end owner.
Right, I like that.
Chair Davids,
Representative Norris.
I will add, though, that as a 501c, this is limited to 501c3 organizations, and then any affiliated entities that they would own underneath that umbrella. So it would have to be something that would an ultimate owner who would meet the definition of a charitable purpose.
Okay. Ma'am, would you like to?
Thank you.
You're
Chair
there
Davids.
Because if Norris gets stuck on a tough question, you'd answer it.
That's correct. Thank you very much.
I'm very glad when we have people like you around, that's for sure. It's called House Research, right? Okay. And fiscal. Okay. Any questions for any of the three folks at the table? Yes, Representative Johnson.
Sorry, I'll try to make it quick. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative, for bringing this forward. How does this affect local entities as far as the county and the city regarding the property taxes that they're not able to get?
Representative Norris.
Chair Davids, Representative Johnson, it's a good question. So if a local jurisdiction chose to utilize this tool, there could be property tax shifts as a result of that. Now, given that it would be just one parcel typically, that shift onto other property taxpayers would not be particularly significant, but it's something that those local jurisdictions, those policymakers would want to consider. That's why we're making this an optional tool for them and not requiring local jurisdictions to do this property tax abatement.
Okay. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, any other questions regarding this bill, House File 1006? Representative Norris renews his motion that House File 1006 be laid on the table, not laid on the table, be laid over for possible inclusion for the tax omnibus bill. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you to your witnesses. Really appreciate it. Members, if you could keep the data center papers for 1277 in your, and I just suggested earlier that you clean out your files, but now we need you to keep this stuff. It's a very big environmental move. I believe in recycling and all that stuff, but later. So with that, anything else for the good of the order? Good government all the time. We are adjourned.